Hour News. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens. Local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
This is the Midday News for Wednesday, January 20th. I'm Kimberly Benjamin in the headlines. Former UN Ambassador Crispin Gregoire says the DLP administration is operating like a cult and seems bent on establishing a monarchy in Dominica, but any such move will not be allowed to succeed. St. Lucia Health Ministry confirms 57 new cases of COVID-19 from a batch of 216 tests conducted. All St. Lucia National ranging in age from 11 years to 71 years, bringing the total cases diagnosed to date to 713. And youth coronavirus cases continue to rise around the U.S. and a dangerous inflammatory condition is developing in children, illustrated by one Texas family whose 8-year-old son was nearly killed by it. The news is brought to you compliments Courts Dominica Limited.
This January is the perfect time to love you more. Shop at Courts this month and enjoy free gifts with selected purchases like the ProForm Sport Treadmill, just $3,299. Save $300 off the JVC 43-inch Smart TV, now only $2,199. Get 20% off any base with the purchase of any mattress. And with Courts Ready Finance, you pay nothing for 60 days. Your goals are within your reach. It's time to love you more. Live better, mind and body with Quartz. Quartz, bringing value home.
There has been growing rebellion among children in Dominica against law enforcement, elected leaders, parents, and religious leaders, a consequence of the failure of these institutions, guardians, and leaders to publicly correct each other when they themselves commit or are suspected of acts which violates the law. Jeweler, auto mechanic, and electrician Mervyn John Baptist point out the current decadence now plaguing Dominica society, which indicates that parents and extended family have given up their role to teach, control, and discipline children based on the level of violation committed.
In terms of the behavior of our youngsters, especially students in school uniform and their behavior on the streets or in the wider society, I want to say something that I condemn 100%. And I think the onus is on parents in terms of, you know, the home is the first learning institution of learning. And if you don't teach a child the way that he or she should go, then if they never know how to behave or to conduct themselves in the public, we're going to have what you call a failed society. And that is the result you're going to get from the behavior at school, on street, or in the wider public or the society. So that is one of the problems that I would really like to speak about. Firstly, and like I say, the onus is on the parents, because what I find lately, for quite a bit of time now, the parents have already, what you call, given up their responsibility. And I say that because you have seen a society where children are in charge of their parents and not parents in charge of their children. And that is something I think the parents need to take back control.
Speaking on Q95's Global View on Q, hosted by Sheridan Gregwell last night, John Baptist pointed to the need for parents to learn the moral values and proper life principles so as to pass it on to their children. As there is another looming issue causing this social breakdown, and that is teenage pregnancy. Because of the growing rate of teenage pregnancy in Dominica, these young teens have almost no idea of what it takes to raise a child properly. John Baptist says this leads to the creation of a confused member of society rather than a child who will grow to be civilized and law-abiding.
The control I'm talking about is to raise that child from small to know what their values are. Values, morals are. What do you maintain to carry yourself through society? And most of the times you don't even get that, because we have another problem where a lot of children making children. So if they don't have the values, they cannot pass it on. I can simply say, for me, I was brought up by my parents, my grandparents, plus my great-grandparents. So I had it well-rounded. Now you have a society now where children, raising children, and the problem that you're going to get is what we're having to deal with right on the streets of Roseau.
Another major problem which has led to students and children running amok is the act of significantly reducing the Caribbean concept of discipline and adopting the American approach through the Education Act, which was implemented by education officials here in Dominica some years ago.
Now, it goes a little further. Besides just parents, we have the wider society where you're dealing with also like churches and law enforcement, the schools, and what the schools implementing. We have a situation where throughout maybe about 5, 6, maybe 7 years ago, maybe even more than that, where you also had the implementation of what you call at the schools the rights of the children and the Education Act. And since the inception of the Education Act, I think it brought another problem where teachers' hands are tied in terms of what they can do in terms of disciplining, because discipline has to be from every angle. What the child is getting at home, and when the child goes to school, what the child getting at school. And I was one of those, the time I went to school and maybe the time you went to school, there was discipline at schools. Today, there is not a level of discipline at school, because I think my opinion is because of this Education Act that gave the children so much rights.
Mervyn John Baptist. There seems to be a monarchy in the making in Dominica, with the ruling Dominica Labour Party administration acting like a cult group, said former UN Ambassador Crispin Gregoire as he shared his professional opinion and observations on the operations of the Skerrid-led DLP administration, as well as what he foresees for the future of the party. Power is concentrated in that family now, husband and wife. They are attempting to build a monarchy, says Gregoire. However, he sends a strong message to the Skerrid administration that their attempts at a monarchy will never succeed.
Well, it seems like what is happening there is that they want to build a monarchy, a king and a queen. That's what is emerging.
A king and a queen?
Yes, because you have the wife of the prime minister is an MP now. Mm-hmm. So power is concentrated in that family now, husband and wife. They're building a monarchy. That's what's happening. Or they are attempting to build a monarchy. But I want them to know that that will never happen in this country. There is no place for a monarchy here. This is a democracy. This is a multi-party democracy. And the Labour Party needs to get its act together. But it's not acting as a party. It's been reduced to a cult group.
Gregoire says the DLP has not had a delegates' congress in over 8 years, something that is unheard of. And as a result of this, when Roosevelt Skerrid leaves the group or is removed from office, the entire system will collapse.
Well, yeah, it's a cult group. I mean, the party has not had a congress. How could a ruling party not have a congress in 8 years? So the officers of the, or who are the officers of that party? So that party don't exist as it used to be. And it needs to be returned to exist as a real party. Because if Mr. Skerrid were to ever leave the scene, that party will collapse like a deck of cards, because there's no party. It's that cult group will run away, because they will all be facing charges about money that they can't account for.
Former UN Ambassador Crispin Gregoire. We need to take a much more serious look at the opportunities that cannabis-based products may have for us in Dominica, says Dr. Peter Seja. Dr. Seja was a special guest on Q95's Hot Seat earlier this morning, where he tackled a broad range of important social issues and suggested some pathways to arriving at solutions to those issues. Dr. Seja says there is much more to cannabis than just smoking it.
My wife is a medical doctor, and she has a pharmacy of CBD. Cannabis-based products. And cannabis has been proven, the substance of the cannabis, not the smoke for your lungs, has been proven to have a lot of medicinal purposes. So it is a medicine, right? And there are people who defend cannabis this way, and we need to look at the opportunity even here in promoting cannabis as for its medicinal properties to deliver a whole range of issues I've learned vicariously from my wife and directly from my profession.
He says there is a socialization routine that develops a negative habit for most persons, such as alcohol, that needs to be addressed as it goes deeper than just surface level.
But in terms of smoking, you see, the thing about smoking, besides how bad it is for your lungs, there's also a socialization that's involved in abuse of substances. For example, the alcoholic, right, at 6 o'clock, 7 a.m., that person may be going up the road to take a shot or to be around the smoke, sometimes even to be around the drink. Sometimes even after the person stopped drinking, they still go that to that place at that time in the morning, right? And sometimes even the routine activity that come with the doing of the drugs and the way that people try to pay or not pay or cheat people, sometimes conflict come out of the arrangements that people, the social arrangements that people have in the drug scene, more so sometimes than the effect of the drug itself. The drug has impact, but there's also a lifestyle that comes with the involvement that also is very complicated.
Dr. Peter Seja, president of the Dominica Builders and Contractors Association, Anthony LeBlanc, says any public procurement practice that is transparent, open to competition, and ensures that the public's best value for the dollar spent will be beneficial to Dominica and BCAD. He says this will mean that the monies received from selling passports will be maximized, hence bringing about real growth. He says the construction industry and all aligned industries will improve. His comments came in light of the Public Procurement and Disposal of Property Bill 2021.
The private sector will improve in a transparent way because it means every sector in the private sector will be able to purchase from government in a transparent way. We have at this stage written to the financial secretary for two things. We have requested from the financial secretary more information in order to comment in the bureau.
BCAD President Anthony LeBlanc. Dominica's health ministry is being commended for having an emergency referral medical transport system in place to transport Dominican patients seeking advanced care to countries of tertiary level healthcare services. These commendations came from trauma surgeon consultant and owner of Urgent Care Dominica Health Services, Dr. Sam Christian. However, he points out the need for the overall review of the health ministry's approach to the staffing of the country's health facilities, as well as the need to upgrade many of the country's health infrastructure to international standards.
It is good that we have the facility of being able to be transferred to Martinique for higher care. And if you were to put it in what we call their levels, there's primary, there's secondary, and there's tertiary care. So the Martinique Hospital is at a tertiary care level, or the third level, the highest level, and Dominica is really at the primary care level. We need to elevate it so we can do much more than we are doing now. We can come up to the secondary level, a better, stronger hospital, staffed by doctors who have been nurtured in Dominica.
Dr. Sam Christian, owner of the Nature Island Dive, Simon Walsh, has given credit to the Discover Dominica Authority's recently introduced Safe in Nature program. He says it is a great cooperation between the Ministry of Health, Tourism, and the DHTA. However, he acknowledges that people in other countries are now in lockdown, hence a shortage of vacationers to the island.
Tier 4 lockdowns where they can't travel. So a lot of our target market in UK, US, Canada, France, Germany, all those countries are in their own severe lockdown. So it's quite challenging for us in the tour operator realm because we are often running a boat with only one person on it and we're not allowed to put any other customers on that boat. It's difficult. It's a little bit stressful, but I think it's one of the best programs in the Caribbean. I give credit to the government for putting it in place, and I just wish we could get a little bit more business from it.
Meanwhile, Walsh says he has zero bookings right into the month of March.
Bookings in April. It's a bit shocking now to be in this situation where it is actually this dead, because normally this is a time of year when tourism is doing well in Dominica and everybody's working and busy. We had September, October, and November were not too bad months. They were months where you could pay the bills during those months. They were not profitable, but you could at least pay your bills. And now we are a lot of people in a situation now where money from last year is long gone. And yeah, it's a pretty dire situation. And I don't see much uptick in early 2021.
Owner of Nature Island Dive, Simon Walsh. Deputy Controller at the Inland Revenue Division, Paul Charles, says many taxpayers have taken advantage of the tax amnesty, with government raking in $6.5 million as a result. The amnesty took effect August 1, 2020, and will come to an end on January 31, 2021. But he has also reported a revenue loss of over $5 million. He made the announcement while speaking on a local radio program.
So if the situation were reversed, you would see government taking in those same tax amounts, but interest and penalties would have been there. So it alleviates the burden for some persons. We understand that some persons are not in receipt of income at the moment. Even after the amnesty, we are not sure what will happen, if the authorities will look at the matter, given how COVID is an extent, but we're waiting to see what happens.
Deputy Comptroller at the Inland Revenue Division, Paul Charles. And Housing Minister Reginald Ostrey has said that a number of housing projects are scheduled for Dominica in 2021. Speaking to the media recently, Ostrey said under an arrangement with Multrial Management Consultants, MMCE, the ministry is looking at housing in Upper Riverbank, the Pound area, Point Michelle, and others.
We'll be doing Girodel, Girodel Eggleston. And then with the Sustainable Housing Solution, which is another company that came in here right after the hurricane to assist us in the reconstruction of homes. And we're looking at areas like Paybush. We're now in Portsmouth, looking at Paybush, looking at Marigot. We're looking at the continuation of the Carib Territory development. We're also looking at housing for Trafalgar. So we have a lot on our plate. And when you consider that we'd be doing this side by side with the international airport, you can imagine the level of financial commitment that this government has to deal with if we are to accomplish all these goals, and I'm confident.
Housing Minister Reginald Ostrey. In other news, the Ministry of Health and Wellness in St. Lucia received confirmation of 57 new cases of COVID-19 from a batch of 216 tests conducted at the Ezra Long Laboratory. There were 159 negative tests received from this batch. This brings the total number of cases diagnosed in the country to date to 713. All of these individuals are St. Lucian nationals, ranging in age from 11 years to 71 years. And as youth coronavirus cases continue to rise around the United States, a dangerous inflammatory condition is developing in children. CBS This Morning spoke with one Texas family whose 8-year-old son was nearly killed by it. Mireya Villarreal reports.
Full of energy and affection, you'd never guess 8-year-old Van Fuquay is bouncing back from a disease that left him struggling in a Texas hospital bed less than a month ago.
My appetite is back.
What was it like before?
Before, it was like I was mostly asleep. Like I slept like
two naps a day.
Yeah, two naps a day.
His mother, Kate, tested positive for COVID-19 back in November, and the entire family quarantined as a precaution.
So we really kind of thought we dodged the bullet because I was the only one sick and nobody else had any symptoms.
But a month later, Van was hit with his own symptoms. Fatigue first, then a fever of 104 degrees, a rash on his body, strawberry tongue, and trouble walking. He tested negative for strep, the flu, and two COVID tests came back negative, leaving doctors scrambling to figure out what was wrong.
He had some really scary numbers on his labs, like his heart was in heart failure, his kidneys looked bad, his liver looked bad. So they were really scrambling, trying to figure out, you know, which one of these systems is the culprit, and none of them were. It was all an inflammation reaction to the virus.
The virus was COVID, and the diagnosis was MISC, short for multi-system inflammatory syndrome, a relatively rare complication from COVID in children. Van is just one of more than 9,000 youth COVID cases diagnosed in Dallas County this past December, one of America's most populated.
All the trends are headed in the wrong direction, so I think it's going to be a pretty dark several weeks, if not months, as we move through this pandemic.
Dr. Jeffrey Kahn heads the infectious disease team at Children's Health Hospital in Dallas and says kids now make up 15% of Dallas County's positive cases.
How did that happen?
The virus is widespread in the community right now, and it's easily transmissible, particularly in a household setting. So if you have somebody who's COVID positive, regardless if they're symptomatic or not, if they enter a household, the people in the household are very high risk for getting infected.
More states across the country are reporting increases in pediatric COVID hospitalizations. In Utah, a 5,000% increase. Arizona, 4,000. And Wisconsin, South Dakota, Ohio, and Minnesota are all reporting a more than 1,000% increase. Dr. Kahn says that means parents should be on the lookout for signs of MISC, the multi-system inflammatory syndrome. It can pop up after COVID-19 is long gone.
What is so striking about this disease is that, for the most part, these are otherwise healthy children with no significant medical history who are coming in and are quite sick. Many of these children are in heart failure, require intensive care, and we're seeing more and more of this as the pandemic evolves.
An evolution being closely monitored by health officials around the country. For CBS This Morning, Mireya Villarreal, Dallas, Texas.
And that's the midday news, but first a recap of the headlines. Foreign Human Ambassador Crispin Gregoire says the DLP administration is operating like a cult and seems bent on establishing a monarchy in Dominica, but any such move will not be allowed to succeed. St. Lucia Health Ministry confirms 57 new cases of COVID-19. And youth coronavirus cases continue to rise around the U.S. And a dangerous inflammatory condition is developing in children, illustrated by one Texas family whose 8-year-old son was nearly killed by it. The news is brought to you, compliments Courts Dominica Limited. I have been your presenter, Kimberly Benjamin.
Our news, as it happens, when it happens.